Okay, today is the today's the 10th yahrzeit of my father, Shmuel Abba Reb Meir, Zichrono Livracha, and the 10th yahrzeit shiur. 10th yahrzeit shiur, and I've been trying to say shurim that are connected to Inyan HaDiyomis should be relevant to those listening. And I also try to tie it into characteristics or ideas that my father, I think, lived by. So it becomes very challenging as the years have gone on, because the Yahrzeit falls out the same time of year. It's always Yud Aleph Shvat, which is around this time of year. And the parasha is Bo B'Shalach, Tu B'Shvat. Anyway, so I want to talk about something that I spoke about, the topic I spoke about in the previous years, or the fourth yahrzeit, but it's from a different angle. And the truth is, this shiur needs about an hour, and we have about 30 minutes left. So I hope it's going to be coherent, because I'm going to probably just cut out parts of it that shouldn't be cut out, but just in the interest of time. We're not right now before Tu B'Shvat. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, first Mishnah, Arba Rosh Hashanah Heim, Be'echa Benisin Rosh Hashanah L'Melochim L'Regalim, Be'echa Be'elol Rosh Hashanah L'Masir Behema, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Be'echa B'Tishrei, Be'echa B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanah L'Shmitos L'Yovios L'Yovlos L'Natia U'L'Yirakos, Be'echa B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan Kedir Veshayim Ve'Yishil Omrim B'Chamisha Asarbo. There are four Rosh Hashanah, and we basically celebrate two of them. Okay? Perhaps three of them, according to the opinion that Ma'aseh Behemos is Echad B'Tishrei. But basically, we mark on our calendar two out of the four possible days. We understand Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, it's the beginning of the year, it's Yom HaDin, it's very significant. But why do we mark Tu B'Shvat? Why is it so significant? Why is it a day that we celebrate as opposed to the other Rosh Hashanah? So just from a cursory look at Makoros we have in the Torah, we see that trees, Eitz, Ilan, play a significant role in the Torah. So you have here in Bereishis, source number 2, Vayita Adonai Elohim Gan Be'edim Mikedem Vayosem Sham Es Adama Sheyatzar Vayitzmach Adonai Elohim Min Hadama Kol Eitz Nechmad Lamareh V'Tov Lamachal Ve'Eitz HaChayim B'Toch Hagan Ve'Eitz Hadas Tovara. Perhaps the two most famous Eitzim in the Torah, Eitz Hadas Tovara, Eitz HaChayim. In Parshas Re'eh, okay, the source number 3, we have, there's an Isser of cutting down fruit trees. Even at a time of war, you wanna set up a type of fortress. Torah says, "Lo tashchis es eitza lindoach alav garzen, ki mimenu tochel, bo solo tichros ki adam eitza sada lavo mipanech mimatzor." There's a lot to talk about in this parsha specifically. We're not really going to get into it so deeply. But you shouldn't chop down fruit trees. Man is compared to an eitza sada. Maybe we'll try to touch on that a little bit. Rak eitza sher teida ki lo eitz machal hu oto tashri. If it's not a fruit-giving tree, that you can chop down. But otherwise, fruit-giving trees, you should not chop down. And then we come to this week's parsha. Right after Kriyas Yamsuf, Bnei Yisrael sings Shira of Oz Yashir. They dance immediately following Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael mi Yamsuf, Vayetzu amidbar Shor, Vayelchu Shloshes Yamin bamidbar, Velo Matzu Mayim, Vayavo Marasa. They came to Mara, v'lo yafalushtos mayim mimara ki marim he. They came to the bitter place. The waters were bitter, and they couldn't drink it. It was bitter. Akein karash mara. If you haven't figured it out yet. Vayilonu ha'am ha'moshe le'mor manishte. Vayitzak el Adonai. Vayareu Adonai eitz. Vayashlech el ha'mayim. Vayim tiku ha'mayim. Sham sam lo choku mishpat v'sham nisaho. The waters were bitter. They complained to Moshe. Moshe cries out to Hashem. Vayareu Hashem eitz. Means Hashem showed him a tree. The Farshim point out, the Rashbam points out, it's in Lashon Yoru Mishpatech Yisrael. Also the Medrash, as we'll see, points this out. Hashem taught Moshe a lesson. Hashem taught him about the tree. Taught him the tree. So Ramban there says that what Hashem pointed out to him was that there is a special tree, the special tree that has a special segula, special quality, in which by throwing it in, it's sweet, this tree is sweet, has a sweetening power, you can throw it into the water, and it will change the water from being bitter waters to sweet waters. So what Hashem taught him is where to find this tree. The Medrash, which you have here, source number 5. It's an amazing medrash. Medrash is actually found. It's actually on the pasuk Vayichal Moshe. So Amar Abrachi b'shem Rav Chiya Ada Diafo b'shem Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman Kevin Shabol Yisrael Lemara Maksiv Sham Vayavo Marasa Hischil Moshe Mahar Belivo Vamar Hamay Malol Lamidit Bro Ma Hanaya Yesh Laolam Bahe. Moshe came, they came to Mara, they came to this place of bitter waters, and Hashem and Moshe started to question within himself, what is the purpose of this creation? What is the benefit that we have from bitter waters? If you're going to create water, create it so you can drink, what is the point of bitter waters? Mutav haya ilu lo nivru. It would be better if they weren't created at all. Just to come, they're dying, they're thirsty. Right, and then this is what you come to. Better that they wouldn't be here; they wouldn't feel so bad. Yoda Kadosh Baruch Hu Mahem Echashev Libo. Kadosh Baruch Hu knew exactly what Moshe was thinking. Amar Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lo Somar Kein V'Lo Masa Yadayhei. You should not say this. Is it not my creation? If Hashem created it, there must be a purpose to it. Yesh Dabar Ba'olam Shlo Nivra Letzorech. Ela ani milamedcha heich tehe omer. And more kach. Hashem says, I'm going to teach you a lesson, Moshe. This is what you should say. Asei et hamar matok. Make the bitter sweet. Uminayin shalom do HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yos omer kach rei maksi vayitzak al Hashem vayareo Hashem eitz. Vayarehu ein ksiv kan ela vayarehu ein vayareo elashon limud shenemar vayareni vayomer li. Hashem taught him a significant lesson, one of the most significant lessons that he taught Moshe and taught us. And Moshe very astutely used this same lesson Hashem taught him in when it says Vayichal Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people. I'll start anew with you, Moshe. And Moshe says back to Hashem, Asei mimar matok. Let's make the bitter sweet. The Jewish people, they may have sinned, they may be bitter right now. Let's make them sweet. We won't destroy them. Vayichal Moshe. Moshe understood from Hashem's words that there is nothing in this world that is completely bitter. Everything that is bitter in the world, its real purpose is Kvod Shamayim. And that emerges from transforming that which is bitter to that which is sweet. Asei mimar matok. And it's our job to do it. Obviously, this lesson applies in areas of ruchnius as well, not just in physical things that are bitter to change into sweet. But if a person has made himself bitter due to his many sins, Rahmanul Islam, not only can he erase those sins by doing tshuva, but he can actually turn those averos into sweets, bring honor to Hashem. But it goes deeper. You ever wonder why we throw candies at a bar mitzvah, at an ofrok? You know, in some shuls they've stopped this minhag because it's become hazardous. You know, just imagine your ofrok, right? That you pull the towels over your head, and you're getting pelted from all sides. Finally, right? I think it's the coast is clear, but there's always that one little kid, you know, who's like standing in front of you. He's just waiting. He's waiting because he knows you're going to pull up that talus, check up, and then he just, right, gets you right in the eye. You know, right now your vision is blurred. You can't read the Haftorah correctly. The in-laws want to call it off because you don't know the difference between a Reish and a Dalet during the Haftorah. What's the idea behind this? Why do we throw candies? Because the idea is, my friends, is that you're getting hit from all sides. Ow, 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 ow. And then you come out of your towels, you look around, and you realize it's all candies. It's all sweets. In life, the lessons for life, for the bar mitzvah boy, for the couple that's about to get married, the things in life that sometimes it's painful, it appears painful, but if you look at it a little clearer, you realize that it's all sweet in the end. But why a tree? Why? He could have turned bitter into sweet without a tree. What was the point of using a tree? So you look here in source number 6. Hashem's creating the world, day number 3. Vayomer Elokim Tachei Haaretz Desha Esef Mazria Zera Eitz Pri Osef Pri Lemino Asher Zerabo Al Haaretz Vayichei. Hashem says, okay, make grass, make a tree, make Eitz Pri Osef Pri. And so it was. Was it really? Says the next pasuk, "Vatotzei haaretz desha, esef mazria zera liminehu, ve'etz osef pri asher zarabo liminehu, vayar Elokim ki tov." In the bitzua, in the actuality, so there's a little difference. The first pasuk says "etz pri osef pri," and the next pasuk it says "etz osef pri." Rashi picks up on this discrepancy, quoting the Medrash, and says, Eitz Pri Osepri, really what was supposed to be that Eitz Pri Osepri, that the taste of the tree was supposed to be like the taste of the fruit. Eitz Pri Osepri, a fruit tree that makes fruit. And in the actuality, which is one of the sins of pre-man, sins of the creation, what actually happened, the tree in creating itself did not put the taste of the fruit into the tree. The tree itself is bitter. The bark is bitter. And only the taste of the fruit is in the fruit. Now, this could be a whole shiur in and of itself. How could it be that creation doesn't follow the Creator? Not for now. But what is the significance of this? So I once heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro Shlita explaining this concept, and he explained it much, much more deeper than we have time for. But what this idea, this the tree not having a taste of fruit, having the bitter taste, actually represents the confusion in the world, that this world This world is compared the tree. We don't really understand that really the etzem, the tree, is sweet. The tree is sweet, but we see it as bitter. The tree, the etzem, has a taste of the fruit. But we only can taste the bitter part of it. And it creates confusion in the world. It creates confusion that we have a hard time seeing in this world what it tastes like in the next world. We only things that are sweet to us are this worldly things. Things that are otherworldly things taste bitter to us. Would it have been that we can taste in this world the sweetness of the next world? Would there be any question what we would choose? We would only choose the next world. Because we can already taste what it is. The tree really represents the next world. One of the ways we refer to the next world is Gan Eden. But before we came into the world the way it is now, there was a Gan Eden already. The question is, why is it called Gan Eden? Why is it called a Garden of Eden? We understand Eden. Eden is the right term to describe pleasure. But why Gan? Why Garden? So the world was created in a format of Hayom La'asosam U'macha L'kabal Schar. Today, here in this world, is a place to do. This is where we act. And it's the next world where we receive the reward. The greatest reward, obviously, is real existence. This world, as we've spoken about in the past, this is not the true existence. This world is compared to the baby and the fetus. The baby thinks everything is real. It feels itself, this is real. And then leaves that existence, comes into real existence. So too, in this world, we're like a fetus in the mother's womb, and then we enter into real existence. The greatest punishment is non-existence. It seems to be the sheet of the Rambam. It's just non-existent. So God created the world in a way that we create our own reality. That's our job in this world. We create our reality, which is the next world. You make your own bed. This can be compared to a seed that a person plants in this world. And the tree only sprouts forth many years later. Our actions in this world, our mitzvahs in this world, are seeds that we plant. And the next world, our Gan Eden, is the garden in which the trees grow. So the significance of the term Gan Eden is that it's the place where the good comes from, the growth and development of the planted seeds and trees that we planted in this world. There exists what is in actuality, what here is only in potential. And Chazal referred to mitzvos. You have here Psukim and Yishayo and Hoshea. They refer to mitzvos, the Lashon of Zriya. Ashreichem zorei al komayim, ziru lechem litztaka kitzru lufi chesed. Our job in this world is to be a zorea, to be a notea, to plant seeds, to plant saplings. The Gemara in Shabbos, Amar Eish Lakish, Mai Dichtiv, Vahiyu Emuna Sitecha, Chosein Yeshuas, Chachmas Vedas, the Gomer, Emunas, when it says Emunas, what's referring to Emunas? What is it referring to? Ze Seder Zerayim. It's referring to the Mishnayos of Seder Zerayim. The farmer, when he plants, he's planting with complete faith that there is a Bora Olam. The Tosis points out, quotes to Yerushalmi, Imamid Bechaya Olam Vizorea. He believes that there's a creator, he believes there's a reality, and he plants. When man was forced out, when we were banished from Gan Eden, so we were unable to see, now we're unable to see the fruits of our labor. We're not unable to see the trees. The gates of Gan Eden have been closed to us. And if a person lacks faith, he lacks emuna, he will end up eating his seeds or anything that he's done in this world, he'll eat it here. And he'll have nothing to show for himself over there. The person who thinks this way, who lives this way, there's no tchiyas hameisim for him. Not because as a punishment, it's just a consequence. There's nothing there. There's nothing left. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Hein Adam Ahiya Ke'echa Mimino Ladas Tovera, Ve'ata Pen Yishlach Yado, V'lakach Gam Me'etz HaChayim, V'achal V'chay Le'olam. Hashem banishes man, Adam, from Gan Eden, because he's afraid he may take from the Eitz HaChayim. Eitz HaChayim. It's very likely, I think, that the Eitz HaChayim had the same qualities as the Eitz HaDas, as many of the Kadmonim point out, that the Eitz HaDas has had the quality of what it was supposed to be. Tam HaEitz K'tam HaPri. And I think also the Eitz HaChayim must have had Tam HaEitz K'tam HaPri. Why couldn't Adam eat from the Eitz HaChayim? Because a person who lives his life tasting the tree and tasting the sweetness of the tree, he'll live eternally. No death will come to such a man. And Adam's punishment, he was meant to die. However, Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though we don't have access to that Eitz HaChayim, he transferred those qualities to a different Eitz HaChayim. When we received the Torah, he transformed us into those who live by an Eitz HaChayim. Eitz HaChayim hi l'machazikim ba v'tomchel mu'ushar. The Torah teaches us how to live a life of planting. As we say in the Birkas HaTorah, Asher nosom lanu Torahs emes v'chaye olam nata b'sochayinim. He gave us the ability to transform our lives to being eternal. We can lead a life of planting, and whatever grows and develops from our hard work will be our garden, our Gan Eden. I think we've answered all our questions. And if I had 10 more minutes, I would go through all the questions and show you how we've answered them. If you're not sure about it, ask me afterwards, and I'll go through them with you. But in the interest of time, what is the opposite of this type of existence? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which is on the other page, second page. Marv Mamatzia says, "Snan hasam pritzei zaysim vanovim beshami mitamin beisilam mitarin." My pritzei zaysim, Amrav Huna, Rishay zaysim. What does it mean, pritzei zaysim? What is the definition of pritzei zaysim? So Rav Huna says, it's Rishay zaytim. Okay? What is Rishay zaytim? The evil olives. Okay, what are the evil olives? Says Rashi, Shehein la'olam boser, Shein bishulan nigmar la'olam. It's boser. Boser is a fruit that only grows up to a shlish, a third of what it's supposed to be, and it never develops further than that. Rashi gives us a definition of what is a Rasha. What are his qualities? He is always boser. He never fully develops. He sees himself as already complete. I do not need to grow or change. He wants to remain the same. That's boser. That's Rishay Zaysim. This is Esav. Esav Milashon Asui. He was already complete. Nothing more to do. Yaakov, opposite. Future tense. Always seeking to grow. Always seeking to invest in the future. Gemara in Sanhedrin. Darshan's on the pasuk in this week's parsha. Amar Rabbi Meir. Minayin l'tchias hameisim min ha-Torah shenemar oz yashir Moshe ovnei Yisrael es ha-shira zos ba-Hashem. Shar lo nemar elo yashir. It doesn't say Moshe sang. He did sang. He did sing. He did sing in the past. But he sang with an eye to the future. Yashir. That is the essence of the Jew. His eye is always on the future. I just want to end this year with, if there's nothing else, if you dozed off for the rest of it, here's one thing you want to wake up for. And I've said this many times, probably every year I say this one or two times, one of my most beloved vortlach. Everything I said now was not a vort. Everything was not begetter vort. It was begetter something real. But this is a vort, which is also real. So it can stand alone. But it really captures the whole tier. And I heard it from Rabbi Cooperman, who heard it from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichron Levracha, who heard it from a Holocaust survivor, who Rabbi Cooperman didn't remember the name, so I don't know the name of the Holocaust survivor. But the Holocaust survivor said, the Gemara says, we see Tchias HaMeis Min HaTorah from Oz Yashir Moshe. And the Gemara, truth is, the Gemara gives a number of examples of future tense, but where do you see it from that? Oz Yashir, okay, future tense, and a lot of future tense in the Torah. Why specifically from here? So the Holocaust survivor said, we know that one-fifth of the Jewish people, as it's hinted to in the beginning of this week's parasha, Chamushim Alu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, only one-fifth of the Jewish people left Egypt. Four-fifths of the Jewish people remained behind, died in Makas Koshev. Only 20% of the Jewish people left. How can it be that after losing four-fifths of their family, how could it be, said the survivor, that if people can sing Shira, they can sing just a few days later, they can sing Oz Yashir after losing 80% of the Jewish people? So he answered, it can only be because there's Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. It can only be because we believe we'll be reunited with our family. But much more than that. It's because we know that as bitter as things are in this world, this is not the real existence. There's a Tchias HaMeisim. It may be bitter now, but the eights represents what appears to be bitter can turn things to be really sweet. The eights is the product of everything we do in this world. The bigger picture is a different reality. And this is only where the seeds have been planted and are decomposing, only to sprout forth a beautiful garden that will be eternal. My father, Zichron Levracha, Shmuel Abba Reb Meir, lived his life according to many of the ideas and themes that we have learned in this year. He knew how to sweeten, those things in life that often appear to be bitter. He was a Baal Eitzah. Eitzah, Miloshon Eitz. He always knew the right thing to say. And how to say it. He would toss his Eitzah and plant an idea in someone else's head and it would bear fruit. He knew that sometimes life has a bitter taste. But that's okay, because we are investing in the future. He was not at all enamored with this world's forbidden fruits, or even permissible fruits. My father went to Cornell before he had turned 17 years old. In 1957. And he went about building what was then known as the Young Israel of Cornell. It was supposed to be a prototype. They were going to make Young Israel, branches of Young Israel, and college campuses across the country. It ended up being the only Young Israel on a college campus. Today, it's no longer called Young Israel. It's a different name, Center of Jewish Life or something. But at the age of 17, he was the youngest president of a Young Israel in the history of Young Israel. He was later to be president in two other Young Israels, Young Israel of Queens Valley, Young Israel of Lawrence Cedarhurst. He didn't do it because he sought the honor of being a president of a shul. I'm sure the people in the room whose fathers have been president of a shul, it's certainly no position of honor. He did it because he wanted to be involved in planting seeds. He wanted to build. My father worked in one of the largest firms on Wall Street for 25 years. But it didn't matter much to him. He met some of the most famous names in the financial world. Although David Gibber, I don't think he met. But it didn't mean much to him. Not because he didn't value his work, but it did not occupy him outside his office. I don't recall him ever discussing his work with Warren Buffett or Sandy Weill. Never discussed it at home. Unless I asked him about it, never once on Shabbos, never was it a topic of conversation at our Shabbos table. In fact, for many years, I didn't even know what he did. I didn't know what he did for a living. People asked him, what is your father? He works for this company. I don't know. What does he do? I don't know. He's a lawyer. His concern was the seeds that he planted. His family, his Torah, his mitzvos, his community, his investments in stukos, especially in Eretz Yisrael. I'll just end with a final story that when the last time my father left the house when he was sick, other than going to hospital, it was a Sunday afternoon. My uncle came over to the house and said, "Okay, my father's name is Arnold. I'm taking you out. Where do you want to go? You want to go for a? You want to go to the? You know, walk on the boardwalk? Do you want to take you to a baseball game?" My father was a big Cardinals fan, and that was the year Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. We had the big year, 1999. "Where do you want to go?" My father said, "Take me around the neighborhood. I want to see." "I want to see the new shuls that have been built. The new mikvahs that have been built in the neighborhood. Adam haya holech b'midvar, v'haya ra'ev v'ayef, v'tzama v'nimtza ilan, v'matza ilan, sheperosav mesukin, v'tzilo na'e, v'amas hamay, overis tachtav. Achol miperosav, v'shasa mimeimav, v'yosha v'tzelo, v'kishabikesh leilech, amar ilan ilan, v'ameh v'rechecha, im omer lecha, shehu perosecha mesukin, harei perosecha mesukin, shehei tzilcha na'a, harei tzilcha na'a, shetehei amas hamayim oberes tachtecha, harei amas hamayim oberes tachtecha, elahi ratzon, shekol nitios, shenotim imcha, yukimoscha." Good afternoon.